President Bush meets with Senate leaders today, and one topic of discussion may be how to pay for his proposed defense and education programs now that the government surplus has been eaten up by the president's tax cut and the slumping economy. Speaking yesterday at a union rally in Wisconsin, President Bush warned there are some economic problems on the horizon. The Commerce Department announced last week that the economy grew by a meager 0.2% during the second quarter. That's the weakest performance in 8 years. Countries around the world are feeling the same slowdown. Commentator Ev Ehrlich says it's making the world economy a more frightening place.
The U.S. is not alone in its economic lethargy. Europe is slowing as well, and Japan's recessions are so frequent and repetitive they remind you of the movie Memento, where the hero keeps waking up cluelessly in the middle of the same crisis. Economies in Asia and Latin America are shrinking. How did it all get so bad so fast, and what can be done about it? Economics isn't really about equations. It's history in motion, and you can't understand where the economy is going without understanding where it's been. 3 years ago, Asia, then Russia, then Brazil were either defaulting on their debts or at risk of doing so. The Federal Reserve responded by cutting interest rates to let the world's money slosh around more freely. Meanwhile, the U.S. budget deficit was disappearing rapidly. The government, therefore, didn't need to borrow as much to pay its way, which put even more money into people's hands. So where did all that new money go? Simple. Much of it went into the stock market, specifically into what was the flavor of the moment, technology. Wowed by the prospect of a wired world, investors threw money at dot-com startups who bought routers, servers, networks, and the other accoutrements of e-commerce. The economy boomed. And it wasn't just the U.S. The once floundering Asian nations exported boatloads of high-tech goods to the U.S. market. Mexico, the rest of Latin America, and even Europe and Japan came along for the ride. The U.S. had become the locomotive that pulled the world. But now the U.S. locomotive has run out of steam, and Asia, Latin America, Europe, and Japan have come to a crashing halt behind it. For the first time since the first OPEC oil shock almost 30 years ago, the world economy is slowing down everywhere at once. How to jumpstart drooping global growth? For one, cut interest rates everywhere. But the U.S. has been doing that, frantically. Japan and Europe are long overdue to do their part. Second, the hard part, let the dollar gently decline, by enough to make U.S. goods cheaper elsewhere, which is good, but not by enough to set loose a dollar-dumping feeding frenzy among speculators, which could be very bad. Third, make sure the current economic brush fires in Argentina, Brazil, or Indonesia don't spark a larger global conflagration. But most importantly, the world economy's leaders, its treasury secretaries and central bankers here in Europe and in Japan, need to project confidence and competence. They need to choose their words meticulously and with exquisite timing. The surest way to spark a global economic crisis is to leave the world afraid you can't manage one. Thus, global economic leadership starting here in the U.S. is about to be tested. It's one thing to debate estate taxes in the Social Security lockbox. It's another thing to measure up when the wolf is at the door.
The comments of Ev Ehrlich, former Undersecretary of Commerce, his newest novel is called Grant Speaks.